you. And I'm confused because 1 Corinthians is another verse that you guys are going to be meditating here. All right, Romans chapter 6. All right. And verses 1 and 2. So we're going to read say the reference, read the verses, and then say the reference. All right, here we go. Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Romans 6, 1 and 2. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to live by grace. Thank you, Lord, that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Lord, we don't live in sin. And so I pray that you might speak to our hearts this morning through the Sunday school hour. We might gain a clearer understanding of what you would have for us today. And then, Lord, to walk in the grace of God. Thank you so much for loving us. And we pray that you bless and meet our need in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. All right. Well, we're talking about victory over the power of sin. Victory over the power of sin. Notice your overview there. And I want to go over that briefly here. And so you can see where we're standing here. You've got Romans 6, 1 through 13 listed there, and those are the key verses that we're talking about. And we stepped down through those last week, or 2 weeks ago, I should say, kind of gave you an understanding of what those verses were going to talk about. But then notice our overview. It says, far better than forgiveness of sin is following God's plan to do right in the first place. How many would agree that's true? Amen. 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 How much pain and heartache would be avoided if we overcame the temptation rather than yielding to it? And I think we could say the same thing to our children. Son or daughter, much better for you to obey what I tell you than to learn the hard way and having to be corrected with corrective measures, whatever that may be. And so it goes for us as Christians as well. It says the church in our day needs a renewed focus on the process of sanctification and the power over sin that Jesus makes available to us. Now, what is sanctification? Sanctification is setting apart from sin and setting one to God for his use. Amen. That's all sanctification is. It's a setting apart of you and I from sin to God for his use. And the process of sanctification works like this. As I grow in the Lord, I should be getting closer to the Lord. If that's the Lord, I'm being sanctified or set apart from sin. So if that's sin, I'm going further and further away from sin and closer to the Lord. That's sanctification. I'm being set apart from sin, set unto God for his use. And the closer I get to God, the more he can use me. Okay? And so that's the goal in sanctification. That's what we're going to be talking about. Notice what it says down there. When someone accepts Christ as Savior, they are immediately justified. So that means they're immediately saved and they're declared righteous in God's sight. But then another ongoing process also begins at salvation, and that is sanctification. Understanding the process of sanctification is vital to overcoming the power of sin. Then noticing your theme, it says a believer who accesses the power of God and yields to him rather than to sin, will gain victory over temptation to do wrong. So that is our theme. But I'm going to give you, I want to interject something with the title here. Amen. Let me move this down some. My bifocals are not working properly, so I push that down some. Amen. I want to interject a mindset flaw that happens to you and I with this title. Notice the title, Victory Over the Power of Sin. Now, for most of us, what kind of jumps out when you read a title like Victory Over the Power of Sin? Or what comes to your mind when you read Victory Over the Power of Sin? What comes to your mind? Rose? Defeat? She said how strong sin is. What else comes to our mind when you read that title, Victory Over the Power of Sin? I'm going to be the victor over the power of sin. One said defeat. One said sin. What else comes to our mind? Faith? Okay, amen. God gives us the grace to overcome so that we don't have to give in to that power. Right. What else? What other thoughts comes to your mind when you hear this title, Victory Over the Power of Sin? Because I'm going to interject a mindset problem that comes sometimes Anybody else, any thoughts come to your mind? Diana? Mm-hmm. Jesus died, conquered sin. Amen.
Amen.
Because he's ours, we can conquer it as well. Bev? Sin is powerful. That is correct. That is correct. Now, let me interject a thought here that I think oftentimes becomes a mindset problem when we see a title like this. Say, preacher, what is that mindset? We often focus more on the power of sin than the power of God. When we see a title like the victory of the power of sin, our main focus is, oh, how can I avoid sin? And then we walk around trying to avoid sin. Now, should we try to avoid sin? Yes, but that's not the main objective. And I think when we see a title like this, victory of the power of sin, we often focus more on the power of sin and avoiding it, that we miss the bigger picture.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
What is the bigger picture? Anybody know what the bigger picture is? Follow Christ? The power of Christ? Amen?
Yes.
The bigger picture.
That's right.
And the power of Christ has a lot to do with it. Yes, sir? We have victory. Yes, sir. That is true.
Victory.
Tamara? Okay, focusing on what we have to do to avoid sin. Dinah, then we'll get you, sis. Sin no longer has dominion. That is true.
Right.
And
Daddy, Jerry? Said earlier, the further we get from sin, the more like Christ we are, the closer to God we get.
And this is all true. This is all true. And this is all right. Combined in a larger picture. Because when you think of victory over the power of sin, there's an underlying thing that I think that we don't focus on, and we place a lot of emphasis on the power of sin. Yes, Kathy?
Repentance.
Repentance, okay, that's a good one.
That's a good one too, amen.
Now, think with me on this subject. What is our main goal in life? When Jesus, what did Jesus say that our main goal in life is? Kathy?
Pray that Jesus, it says in the Bible to pray that we do not enter into temptation.
Well, yeah, that's strong as well. But there's something else that's underlying. Yes, Kimmy?
To glorify God.
Glorify God. Okay, what did Jesus say is the first and great commandment? Let's go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Because I think oftentimes when we see a subject matter like this, when we talk about victory of the power of sin, as many of you said, we tend to focus more on the power of sin. Matthew 22. And the question was asked to Jesus, what is the great commandment? Notice verse 35. Then one of them, this is Matthew 22, verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, and by the way, a lawyer is a one that knows the law.
Yeah.
Master, which is the great commandment in the law? In other words, what is the premier prominent thing that we should do by the law? What should we do? And notice what the answer came back from Jesus. Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment.
Yep.
Would you agree with me that that is greater than the power of sin?
Yes. Sir.
Yes.
Sir. Yes, sir.
But when we see a title like this, Victory of the Power of Sin, we end up going to try to avoid sin.
Right.
And what we really should be doing is just loving God.
Yes, sir.
That's now, Pastor. Let's put it a different way. When you got married, did you try to avoid doing the things that made your spouse mad, or did you try to love your spouse? You tried to love your spouse.
Yes, sir.
You could care less. It's not that you care less about the things, but you were so busy focused on pleasing them.
Yes, sir.
That you weren't really thinking about what displeased them. It was in the back of your mind. You knew what displeased them, but your main goal was, let me please my husband. Let me please my wife.
Amen.
And then you came to know more about your husband or your wife, and then you begin to find out this displeases him or her. And so I'm going to stay away from that. This displeases him or her, so I'm going to stay away from that. This displeases him or her, so I'm going to stay away from that.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? When we hear victory over the power of sin, we try to avoid sin more than loving God.
Yes, sir.
And so loving God becomes small, mm-hmm. and sin becomes big. Because I'm trying to tippy-toe around sin. By the way, how many of you type here? How many took typing in school? What's one of the first things they teach you in typing? Position of the hands, which is called the what? The home row. They teach you the home row. That's the first thing. Remember, I was in high school. My football coach was the typing teacher. Home row, get it down. And what's the next thing they teach you about typing? When you learn the home row, don't worry about your what? Don't worry about your mistakes.
Don't worry about the mistakes.
Keep your speed going. Uh-huh. Don't worry about your mistakes. As long as you're on the what? The home row, that's what matters. Stay on that home row. And when it comes to typing, you become a slow typer when you start looking at your what? Your hands and your fingers trying to avoid what? Mistakes. But if I keep my hands on that home row and just type away, they say the mistakes will find the mistakes will go away in time.
Yep, there we are, Pastor.
To this day, I took typing, and I cannot type numbers. You know why? I looked, and I cheated. Now, I've got the home row down, but when it comes to those numbers, man, I can't work the numbers. I've got to look. And so it is when it comes to God. God is our home row, and we should be focused on him, and we should be focused on and loving him and pleasing him. And do we think about what displeases him? Yes, but not more than loving him and worshiping him and serving him and pleasing him. I'm not going to lie to you. When I first got saved, I made so many mistakes. I made so many. But as I made mistakes, I was getting further away from sin and closer to God, because in my love for my God, I was just trying to worship him and serve him and satisfy him. And the more I learned about him, I learned what pleased him and also what displeased him. And I wasn't tippy-toeing around. I was kind of like a kid, just jump right out there. You know, I made a mess of some things. But guess what? I understood that God loved me. And he wanted me to love him. So when you look at a title like this, our main concern should be worshiping, serving, and loving God the same way a husband and wife relationship would be, not trying to avoid sin, but loving God. And he said, the first and great commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God. With what? All thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. If I'm giving God all my heart, all my mind, and all my soul, how much is left for the power of sin?
None.
None. So you get the picture? So the more I love God, the less I've got for sin. By the way, you can't love God and sin at the same time.
That's right, Pastor, you can't.
To sin, you've got to turn away from God to sin.
Yes, sir.
Y'all agree with me?
Yes,
amen?
Sir, Pastor,
so the goal shouldn't be magnifying the power of sin. Is it real? Yes. Is it there? Yes.
Oh, yes.
Do I have to watch out for it? Yes.
Yes, we do.
Do I have the victory over it? Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm more so looking at he who saved me and he who I love, and the power of sin then will begin to minimize in my life. And so when you look at this victory over the power of sin title and the subject matter, don't magnify the power of sin. It's powerful. It's real. It's there. And we're never going to be sinless. But as we're being sanctified, we should what? Sin less. Amen. And I use that all the time because it's true. Amen. All right. So everybody got that? I wanted to put that out there because as I looked at that subject matter and began looking at this lesson, I thought we so often focus on the power of sin.
Yes, sir.
That we miss loving God. You know, I mean, you think about it. Who wants to live their life just trying to tippy-toe around sin? When we have the ability to love God.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Amen. And getting to know our God more. And by the way, the more we learn and know God, the more we will become able to sin less.
Yes.
Amen. And so praise God here. So let's talk about some things. Let me let you fill in some blanks here. And your outline here. Roman numeral 1 is refuse to presume upon the grace of God. Refuse to presume upon the grace of God. That's room number one. Okay, then A, grace is not a license to sin. Many of you probably could figure that one out. Grace is not a license to sin. By the way, some people will tell you that. Oh, so you guys believe you have a license to sin because you say once saved, always saved.
Yeah.
Oh, so you guys think you can do anything you want to. Who said that? But that's what they'll say. Well, you guys, you know, have this cheap salvation.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Cheap. It cost Jesus Christ his life. Mm-hmm. How could you say it's cheap? Well, because you get to do whatever you want to. Now, I have the liberty to do anything I want to. But guess what? Because I have a God that loves me and because I love him, I'm not going to do anything that I want to.
Amen.
Amen. By the way, I love my wife and I'm married to my wife.
Hey.
And I can do anything I want to.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
But guess what? There are certain things I'm not going to do because I'm married to my wife. Because I love her. There are certain things I'm just not going to do. I'm not going to post pictures of my old girlfriends in the house.
Nope.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to call my old girlfriends up and say, hey, how you doing? I'm not going to do that.
Ooh.
One actually called me one time. No, what is it? Send me a text, email.
Oh, my goodness.
Email, I think it sent me a text or email. Hey, how you doing? We're doing fine. Make sure I included my wife on that text and that email, too. We're doing fine. And as soon as I included my wife, guess what? Didn't hear from her since.
That's right, Pastor. Amen.
I wonder why.
Hey,
because of my love for her, there's certain things that I just, can I do anything I want to? Yes, but then again, I can do anything within the frame of my liberty and my laws concerning marriage.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
There's certain things, according to law, you just can't do.
Yes, sir.
Then there's certain things that I could do that I'm just not going to do because it would not prove my love to her.
That's right.
And so it is with God. That people think that, well, you got a license to sin. That's not true. B, grace is a motivation to serve. Grace is a motivation to serve. So we're going to try to tackle through some of this morning.
Amen.
And see what we're going on. Now, by the way, look at Roman number one. Refuse to presume upon the grace of God. When you hear a title like this, what does this title mean to you? Refuse to presume upon the grace of God. What does that mean to you? Refuse to presume upon the grace of God. Faith. Amen. There are other consequences. Amen. Anybody, when you read that statement, refuse to presume upon the grace of God, what does that mean to you? Anybody else? Was refuse to presume upon the grace? What does that mean to you? It's got to mean something to you. Refuse to presume upon the grace of God. Diana? Not taking for granted. Every day it's new. By the way, the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Faithfulness, yeah.
By the way, those of us that are married, can we sometime presume upon the grace of our spouse? Because we know they love us, because we know they're not going anywhere, and because we know they're going to be there, we can act a certain way or we can do certain things subconsciously, just knowing, well, they're going to forgive me anyway. Oh, well, they'll be there anyway. You know, my wife, she wants to know if I'm safe. And sometimes I won't call her if I'm in an engagement or something like that. And I'll forget and lose time. And she'll call me. I've been worried about you.
Amen.
And sometimes I presume upon her grace saying, you know, I'm okay. But what if I wasn't okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she's concerned about me.
Right, Pastor.
And so I've got to take special precautions to make sure that I'm checking in to make sure when I don't call and she doesn't know where I'm at, I'm on the road quite a bit. And she knows I haven't crashed. I'm not in an accident somewhere because I could be.
Yep.
And oftentimes as husband and wife, we can presume upon the grace of God. As Christians, can we presume upon the grace of God?
Yes, we can.
Have you ever heard this statement? Well, excuse my French, but blankety blank.
Yeah.
Well, I know this is wrong, but.
Yeah.
Well, I know I shouldn't say this, but.
Here we go.
You know what we're doing? Presuming upon the grace of God.
Presuming.
Well, I know I shouldn't do this, but. Yeah, I used to be around a lot of ex-smokers because I used to smoke. And they would say, well, I know I shouldn't smoke, but. Well, I know I shouldn't drink, but.
Yep.
And what are they doing? If they're saved, they're presuming upon the grace of God.
That's right, Pastor.
And they'll look at me. I know this is wrong, preacher, but. Say amen, praise the Lord. It's your lungs, not mine. Your liver, not mine. What does this title mean? Refuse to presume upon the grace of God. It means basically, I can't do what I want to do.
Right.
I can't do what I want. By the way, go to 1 Corinthians 6. This is why this was on my mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Refuse to presume upon the grace of God. If I'm going to have victory over the power of sin, I've got to refuse to presume upon the grace of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me get somebody to read verse 19 and 20. Who's there? Romans. Go ahead, Brother Ponte. Amen. So according to that verse, I can't presume upon the grace of God for number one reason. I'm not my own.
Amen.
By the way, again, husbands and wives, if you are married, who do you belong to other than God? Your spouse. You're not your own. You can't do with you what you want to do. Guess what? If my wife doesn't, if I could grow hair, if my wife doesn't like a beard, guess what I need to do? I shouldn't say, well, I like my beard, so who cares what you like? Well, according to the Bible, I belong to her and she belongs to me.
Right,
you know, if she says, well, honey, I don't like that orange tie on you. Guess what? I got to take it off.
Yes, sir, we do, Pastor.
I'm not going to take this one off because she bought it. What if I say, I don't like that tie. I don't like the color orange. My favorite color is blue.
Uh-huh.
Who cares? I don't look at me. She looks at me.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
And so I might like blue, but guess what? I belong to her. And so I need to please her. She needs to please me. So I don't belong to me and she doesn't belong to her.
Right.
Carl, when you got married, you said, I surrender, Beth. You got all of me.
Surrender.
I surrender. I'm no longer my own. I'm Miss Bev's. And when Bev got married, Carl, I'm no longer my own. I'm yours, Carl. Lock, stock and barrel. You got me. I surrender. I give up.
Amen.
So when we got married, it's the same as when we came to Christ. We said, I surrender. I give up, Lord. I'm yours. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. That's why many of us changed when we got saved.
Yes, sir.
Because God said, okay, this would look better this way. And I'm trying to make you more like Christ. So let's chip that away. Let's chip that away. And I'm trying to make you more like Christ. And since you surrendered, are you still surrendering? I'm still surrendering. But ouch, oh, that hurts. Don't take that away. Oh, that hurts. Don't take that away. Did we get that way sometimes? Although alcohol was killing me,
yes, sir.
Oh, Lord, don't take that away. Although cigarettes were blackening my lungs and giving me lung cancer,
yes, sir.
Oh, Lord, don't take that away. Although I was cursing and can't even talk to my mother without cursing in a sentence, oh, Lord, don't take that away. And God starts chipping stuff away.
Yes, sir, he does.
Why? We belong to him. Notice what he says, 1 Corinthians 16, or 6, in verse 19 again. What? He's asking a rhetorical question like, don't you know this? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of who? God. And ye are what?
Not your own.
Every day when you and I get up, we should get into the mirror and surrender and say, I'm not my own, I'm God's.
Amen, Pastor.
God, what do you want me to do today? God, where do you want me to go today?
Yep.
God, what do you want me to say today? How do you want me to act today? God, I'm not mine, I'm yours. What do you want? By the way, God may change your plans.
Mm-hmm. He will, Pastor.
He changes mine just about every day. My son had a game yesterday, and we came home, got ready to get him out to the game, and we've got one of those faucets where you can pull it out, and it's got the hose on it.
Wow!
And that faucet came loose.
Oh, no.
And it went underneath the sink, and the water was turned on.
Uh-oh.
And so water was everywhere.
Oh, my word.
And I'm upstairs studying, and I'm yelling commands down. All right, guys, get ready. We're leaving in about 5 minutes. Leaving in 10 minutes. Get ready. I yelled down. My wife said, we'll try. All right, guys, we're leaving in 5 minutes. I'll be down there. Oh, it's not working too good down here, honey. All right, guys, go ahead and get in the car. Well, honey, that's going to be difficult to do. I walk downstairs, and I'm thinking.
Oh, no.
Say it's not true.
Say it's not true. We don't have a leak.
We have a 40-minute drive ahead of us.
Oh, my goodness.
And we have 40 minutes to get there.
Oh.
And my son's got to be there for his game.
Oh,
and we have water.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, say it's not so.
No.
You know what I need to do? Get in that mirror and say, Lord, I'm not your own. What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
And he said, pray. Pray.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Pray that you yield not to temptation. Pray that you stop blaming someone. Who did this? Who cares who did it? We got to get it up. How did this happen? Who cares how it happened? We got to get it up. It's got to be done.
It's got to be clean.
God can change your plans just like that. And he will do that sometimes. You ever gone out to the car, you're already late for work, and your car don't start?
Oh,
or it's
yeah.
on the flat?
Oh, yeah.
Or worse, you forgot to fill it up the day before?
Uh-oh.
And now you don't have enough gas to get to where you need to go?
Whoa.
You know what God's doing? Changing your plans.
Yes, sir,
I'm not my own. God may change your plans. Notice what he says down there. For you are bought with a price. Our price was bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So I should do the things that please God. And so I should be looking to please God, not looking at the things that are sinful things, but the things that are pleasing him, because I am his and he is mine. Amen. So it says here in the book, salvation by grace is a wonderful doctrine. But even in the early church, we see that there were some believers who were perverting the doctrine of grace. That's why Paul said in Romans 6 about not sinning because you're under grace. They took the grace that they had freely received and yet wanted to continue living a wicked life. Romans 6, let's go back over there. By the way, do some still live this way?
Yeah.
There are probably some people that you know that still live that way. They claim that they are saved, but they don't have a problem living in sin. And you know why? Oftentimes, A could be that they're not really saved. That could be the possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But B could be the possibility they bought into that bill of goods that say, well, you're under grace, so you can do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Say, preacher, how do I know that? Because the day that I got saved, February 3rd, 1991, that's
Amen.
Exactly what I did.
Amen.
I went to the church. I got saved. I was excited, on fire. I came home and looked at my refrigerator, and staring at me was some nice cold beer.
There we go.
And I said, well, I'm saved, so I can drink it now. I know I'm not going to hell. And I started to turn it up. And I began presuming upon the grace of God. And as I took that drink, I thought, doesn't taste the same way it tasted yesterday. Maybe it's because I haven't drank enough, Brother Hall. I'm going to drink some more.
I did the same thing,
Pastor. I said, maybe I just need to drink about 3 or 4 more. I think I must drink about 12.
Mm.
My wife said, honey, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's
I said, I'm trying to get rid of this stuff. That's the wrong way to get rid of it.
Amen.
That's the wrong way to get rid of it. I paid money for this. I'm not throwing this away. You know what I was doing? Presuming upon the grace of God.
Yep.
You know what the Holy Spirit said? Stop. Stop. What are you doing? What are you doing? You don't need that anymore. You have the Holy Spirit. You've got me. You've got God. What do you need that junk for? Didn't you feel good earlier when you got saved? Yes. How do you feel now? Lousy.
Yeah.
So what are you doing? And guess what?
Exactly.
I began to get sanctified, set apart from that, because it didn't help me any and more towards God. Why? Because I drank. I didn't feel so good. What should we say then, Romans 6? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, continue to sin that you get more grace? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And we talked about that last week, how that was the question that Paul was posing to them. And so there's a mindset out there that says that you can live the way you want to and the grace of God will cover it. And that is not of God. God is not pleased when his free grace, which caused his son so much perverted, to justify a sinful lifestyle. Now, by the way, do Christians grow at different speeds?
Yes.
We do. Please hear me, Christian. Please hear me. Do not try to put your level of growth on somebody else. If that were the case, my wife and I got saved February 3rd, 1991, and we grew quicker than just about everybody in the church. So what does that mean? Absolutely nothing. It just means that God is working our life differently than he's working in someone else.
Yep.
Don't hold your candle of measurement to someone else to think, well, I grew this fast, so why didn't they grow this fast? Who cares how fast you grew?
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
God is not interested in you, your speed.
Right.
He's interested in your heart.
Amen there, Pastor. Amen.
And everybody's not going to grow at the same speed.
And
so it's dangerous for you to look at how you grew and what levels you grew at and look at someone else and try to put your level of growth on someone else. If that's the case, then I should be mad at G2.
Yeah.
Why? Terrell's only 12 and Terrell's taller than G2.
Mm.
I should be upset. Brother Hall, your son outgrown my son. I'm mad. He ain't got no control over how fast he grows. Now, we do have a choice in how fast we grow spiritually, though.
Yes, sir. We do.
But everybody's not going to grow at the same rate. They're just not. By the way, were the prophet's ministries the same?
Yeah.
In a way, yes. Mm-hmm. Were the results the same? In a big way, no. Jeremiah seemed very unsuccessful, while Isaiah seemed very successful.
Yes,
Elisha seemed very successful, while Hosea seemed very unsuccessful.
Mm-hmm.
Jonah seemed very successful.
Yep.
Well, Obadiah doesn't seem successful at all, because there were different messages for different times,
right,
for different reasons and different results. So when it comes to refusing to presume upon the grace of God, each one of us has to take that and take that mindset and say, okay, Lord, I want to make sure that I'm growing according to your pathway and your goal. And Lord, I want to love you with all my heart and my mind and soul. And with that said, then we can grow the way God would have us to. By the way, let me read this statement here. Christians have said that they were not interested in coming to a church. This is today. That preached and taught the Bible based on standards of behavior because they wanted to presume upon the grace of God, and ignorance is bliss. The old, if you don't tell me the truth, I won't know the truth, so I don't have to do the truth.
There you go, Pastor. There you go.
But will they suffer the consequences just the same?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they will. They will. God saved us, and so he saved us so we could do what he wants, not what we want.
Right.
He wants us to grow to become more like Jesus Christ. You're in Romans 6, go over to Romans 8. And as we look at refusing to presume upon the grace of God, there are certain things God wants to do in your life. Notice verse number 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we are predestined to become conformed to the image of Christ's son the moment we get saved. Some are going to be conformed quicker, some shorter. Depends upon how you let God work in your life. Amen?
Amen, Pastor.
So refuse to presume upon the grace of God. Why? We're bought with a price. We belong to God. We don't belong to ourselves. Grace is not a license to sin. Let's talk about that in just a minute. Go over to Psalm 19 and verse 13. Psalm 19 and verse 13. Grace is not a license to sin. By the way, how many of you got driver's license here? What can we do with our driver's license? Drive. What else can we do? Amen. Get on the plane, because people ask for a government-issued ID. What else can we do with our driver's license? What's that? Buy a gun, amen. I can have it in my car, too, on top of that. It can be on the dashboard, concealed or unconcealed, amen, because I'm in Arizona.
That's right, Pastor.
Now you try and go back east with that. Yes.
Uh-oh. You can buy alcohol.
You can buy alcohol with your license. They show your ID.
Mm-hmm.
All right? What am I saying? We have license, and it gives us certain liberties.
Mm-hmm.
But with that same license, are there certain things that we cannot do? What can I not do with my license? Speed. The number one thing I can't do is speed. What is a big thing that we see now? Road rage.
Road rage, yes, sir.
You cannot get out of your car and beat on somebody's car with a bat.
No,
you will be on the news tonight if they don't punch you first.
You yes, sir.
My wife and I, we were over in, Sweden, Switzerland? Sweden. And I don't know what happened, but there was a guy in a car and this guy on his bike. I think I told you all this before. And I don't know what happened, but the guy was just vehemently banging on the man's car and pounding on the car. I mean, jumping up and down and shouting words and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And the last straw, he took his bike. He was standing in front of the car and he threw it on the car.
Oh, my goodness. My word.
And guess what happened next? No, he didn't go to jail. He went to the hospital.
Oh, there you go.
Because the guy hit the accelerator and ran him right over.
Wow.
And my wife and I went like this. He ran him over.
Yes, sir.
I said, he ran him over. And he didn't stop.
Oh, my.
I mean, he hit it. Boom, it took off.
Ooh, boy.
And I thought, my soul.
Yeah.
That taught me a lesson. Never stand in front of a car and try to go off. Amen.
There you go, Pastor.
You better get on the side. You better get in the back of that car. Go in reverse and run you over.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
What happened? You're not allowed to do road rage with your driver's license. You're not allowed to exceed the speed limit. There are certain things that you cannot do. Amen. Go to Psalm 19 and verse 13. Read that, Brother Duffy.
Verse 13.
Yes.
Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression.
Amen. So the psalmist says, keep me back from presumptuous sins. What does presumptuous mean? It means to do something proudly or come arrogantly and saying, I'm going to do this.
Amen.
By the way, did David commit a presumptuous sin with Bathsheba?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Did he know better?
Yes, he did.
The people said, is not this Uriah the Hittite's wife?
Yep. Yes, sir, Pastor.
And what did David say? He sent for her and took her. That was presumptuous. And that is what we mean to refuse to presume upon the grace of God. We don't want to get ourselves into that predicament. And the psalmist says, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. There are certain situations that you and I can get in, and we will deliberately violate God's law and try to justify why we did it. That's dangerous.
Yes, sir, it is.
That's very dangerous. When we know what God says and we say, but, that's dangerous.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
David did it, and the psalmist says, keep me back from that. He said, let them not have dominion over me. What are we talking about? Power of sin.
Yep.
He said, I don't want that to have power over me. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. So the psalmist said, you know what? I don't want to have this arrogant, proud attitude. I can do whatever I want to do. What am I saying? Grace is not a license for you and I to sin. It is not. By the way, sowing and reaping is still there. When Paul says, should we continue in sin, he was speaking of willful sin. Grace does not allow us to intentionally do things we know are wrong and expect God to look the other way.
Mm-hmm.
How many of y'all ever heard this statement? Some people can sow their wild oats from Monday to Saturday, then on Sunday, pray for crop failure.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, don't bring any of that stuff that I did Monday through Saturday into judgment. Well, you know, same thing about crops. What you plant, you normally what? Get. And so I cannot presume upon the grace of God and do things and think I've got a license to sin and not expect some consequences of him. On the other hand, I cannot love God with all my heart, mind, and soul and expect not to get something back for that as well.
Right.
And so the goal is loving God with all my heart, all my mind, my soul. Why? I'm bought with a price. And so I'm not going to presume upon the grace of God. My grace that I have is not a license to sin, but it is a license to love. And it's a license to liberty. Notice the verse down there you've got in your book. For brethren, ye have been called to liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. But by love, do what? Serve one another. Have you ever studied the Ten Commandments? And you've got the first four are towards who? God. The last ones are towards who? Man, others. Did it ever dawn on you that in the Ten Commandments, there is not one commandment to please yourself?
Yep. That's right.
Never dawn on you?
Yes, sir.
The first four are how to please God. The next ones are how to please man. And not one is designed to please you.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's not fear. Why did God design it that way? For him and then for others. Because he knows that our heart were sinners. And we're going to presume upon each other. Well, I know that's yours, Brother Ponte, but I think I'll take it and use it as long as I want to. And I'm not going to give it back until you ask. And then I'm going to prolong it and say, well, brother, I'm still using it for a couple, 10 more years.
There you go, Pastor. There you go.
Brother Ponte says, well, I'll just go out and buy me another one. What am I saying? God knows that you and I have that propensity to presume upon the grace of God and the grace of others. And so grace is not a license to sin, but the Ten Commandments show you what's going on. Grace, let me read this. Grace enables and equips us to serve others, not to feed our own appetites and our selfish desires. Some people today have taken what the Bible has to say about grace and tried to make it mean something God never intended. He hates sin with a holy wrath, and it is ludicrous to suggest that he would ever give us anything that would lead us to do wrong. Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
God's never going to give us anything to lead us to do wrong. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4. Let's read that real quick. And I'm going to need y'all help because y'all know how my book of Philippians is. Philippians 2. I've got to be ginger with it as I turn its fragile pages. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. And Brother Hall, read verse 3 and 4 for me.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, that each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Amen. So grace is not a license to sin, but it is a license to serve. It's a liberty to serve. We should want to love others. All of the Ten Commandments are capsulized in loving God and in treating others. Nothing in there is for yourself. Why? God wants you to make sure you're focusing on others and wants to make sure that they are focusing on you so you don't have to worry about yourself because everybody else is obeying the same thing you are. Guess what? If I'm obeying the commands not to do anything wrong to you and you're obeying the commands not doing anything wrong to me, guess what kind of life we'll have? Be bliss.
Be bliss.
And if we're all loving God with commandments 1, 2, 3, and 4, guess what? It's utopia. It's heaven.
It's good.
But we have a propensity to presume upon each other. And we have a propensity to use our grace as a license. Well, I know you'll forgive me. Then lastly, very quickly, grace is the motivation to serve. It says that true justification will always produce true sanctification. Let me read that again. True justification, a person truly saved, will always produce true sanctification. I don't care what you say or how you say it. If I am saved, I will become sanctified. Now, it may be slow. I may be a cactus. I may not grow as quick, but I will be changing if I'm in this word. If nothing else, I'm just saved. By the way, by your view and by my view, was Lot saved? Now, I'm not talking about the Bible view. By your view and my view, if you just looked at Lot on the street today, would you say he was saved? No. If the Bible didn't tell us he was saved, guess what? We'd say he's not saved. But guess what the Bible says? He's saved. So you and I can't judge someone's sanctification, but the Bible says it vexed his righteous soul. Give you a good indication here. Most of us, if we're honest, want to tell people about Jesus Christ, but we're nervous.
Yes, Pastor.
That's a good indication that you're saved.
Yes, sir, we are.
Did you want to tell somebody about Jesus before you got saved? No.
No.
I know I didn't.
But
after I got saved, there's a true sign that says something happened in me, and I want to share. I may be nervous. I may be scared. I may not do it. But it's not because I don't want to do it.
Right.
And so true justification will always produce true sanctification. Someone who has been saved will produce the fruit of salvation in his life. A person who's growing in grace is becoming more like the Lord. If we study the word of God, we will find that grace always produces godliness and serving in the heart and life of a Christian. Let me read you this one as well. Grace is the inner working of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer, bringing us to the likeness of Christ.
Amen.
What am I saying here? We will produce fruit.
Yes.
And it's a motivation to serve.
Pastor, we will.
Read you this last key statement. Grace brings a more dedicated life. The Bible never shows, hear this now. The Bible never shows true grace bringing less holiness.
That's right.
Or less service. Grace brings more dedication and more service. Christian freedom is not about pushing the boundaries to get close to sin. Neither is it trying to stay far away from sin. Get that? Read it again. Christian freedom is not about pushing the boundaries to get close to sin. Neither is it trying to stay far away from sin, but it's about worshiping, loving, and serving the living God. So I'm not trying to get, I'm trying to get so close, I'm trying to go, it's loving God. If I love God, I'm naturally going to be drawn towards him. You're naturally attracted to that which you love. Amen.
Amen.
And so as I'm loving God and going towards him and I want to love him more, I'm going there. Am I trying to do it on purpose? No.
No.
I'm loving God. And as I'm loving God and going towards him, what am I automatically going away from?
Sin.
But if I'm so focused on avoiding my sin, guess who I'm not focused on? And I think that's where we're at most times.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
We're so focused on the power of sin.
That's true.
that we neglect loving God. And can I be honest with you? That's why Christianity becomes a drudgery. That's why we don't like it sometimes. Because I don't like the one that I'm supposed to be loving. Because I haven't spent any time, because I'm spending too much time trying to avoid my sin. Don't focus on the sin. Focus on the Savior. Loving Him. I'm saying, don't presume upon the grace of God. We have a license. We have a license, but that license is not to sin. And we have a motivation. That motivation should be to serve our God. Christians who are growing in grace are encouraging to be around. We cannot have victory over sin if we pervert the doctrine of grace. Grace gives us the freedom to do right and to serve others. Amen. Memory verse for this week is going to be Philippians 2:4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's something I'm trying to steal in my children.
Amen.
And I'm trusting that you probably have done the same thing in your family as well. Philippians 2:4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Why? We don't want to presume upon the grace of God nor others. Grace is not a license to sin. We sin no means against God or others. And grace is a motivation to serve, and we're serving. We're serving God, and we should be serving others. Serving ourselves should be dead last.
Yes, sir.
Father, bless now. As we attempt to love you, oh God, help us not to focus so much on sin that we neglect loving you with all our hearts, our mind, and our soul. Help us to love you, Lord, in a special way. Help us to love you with all our hearts. Lord, I know I need work in that area. Lord, our grace is not a license to sin, but it is a license to love and a license to liberty. And God, help us to have a motivation to serve, serving you and serving others. By looking not on our own things, but on the things of you, God, and the things of others. Bless now our refreshments next door. And thank you for our guests with us today. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.